Welcome to Your Inner Radiance, your new go-to for self-love practices, yoga lifestyle inspiration, and Ayurvedic tips to support you to uncover your inner radiance. Welcome back to Your Inner Radiance. I'm your host, Lily. I'm so excited because I'm here with my good friend, Kristen McCarg, and she is the first guest on the podcast. So hi, welcome, Kristen.
Hi, Lily. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I can't believe I get to be the first guest on your podcast. How exciting. What a huge honor.
Yes, and we've been talking about doing this for so long, and so I'm so glad you're here. And I think I want to start by asking you the question, what is inner radiance to you?
Oh, inner radiance. Well, gosh, when you see someone who is exuding inner radiance, it's kind of like hard to put your finger on what it is. But it's noticeable and it's different, right? And when you think about it, underneath it all, I believe it has to do with alignment and balance. You know, it's actually, I think it's Donna Farhi who speaks of, you know, I think it's her book, Body of Light. And she talks about when someone walks into the room and they just have that radiance that everybody notices. And she says, really, it has to do with this alignment of the chakras, which is this system, energy vortexes at the center of our body that are tied deeply to hormones, in a way, hormones and all of the different emotional aspects of our being, our connection to, you know, if you were to look at the chakras are also connected to the elements. So from the elements, we have the earth all the way up to the ether, and they have such different qualities and densities and meanings and how they show up in the world. And, they relate directly to our emotions and our human experience. So the, like, for instance, the lower chakra, it's our sense of stability in our root, which is safety, our sense of belonging, our health, you know, these foundational aspects of our being. And as you go up in the elements and the chakras, there's our creative energy, there's our emotional energy, our relationships. You get to the third, it's the fire aspect. It's our sense of self in the world and our ability to see clearly. You get to the heart and it's this like loving energy, which is really unique. It's connected to feeling. So really, and then into the throat, how is our throat an open channel to connect our heart and our mind so that we're not just kind of moving in this fragmented way in the world? I think inner radiance really has so much to do with wholeness.
That's so beautiful. And it's another way of saying exactly what I'm understanding through Ayurveda, which I know you're a big fan of and promoter of and practicer of too. And Ayurveda teaches that health is a balance of all of the elements. I mean, it talks about doshas, you know, balanced doshas is balanced health, but the doshas are made of the elements. So what you're saying about the chakras and the chakras relating to the natural elements and that being what creates inner radiance when all those things are aligned and balanced, that makes so much sense. And it's a simple way for us to look at each of those places in our body and how those can all connect and balance to bring us to our most radiant
So true. And then I could just share a little bit of my personal experience, a personal story, so people can relate to what we're talking about. This sounds very esoteric and like, okay, great, but how does this apply to me? What does this look like? So first of all, we need to start with our root energy. Because if we aren't comfortable in our bodies, in this place in the world, in relationship with ourselves, with others, with the earth, we don't feel we don't feel a sense of belonging. We feel very separate from each other and sort of like, what is our purpose here? Who are we? Why are we even here? What is going on? Mm. For the first part of my life, I can remember seeing, I have this vivid memory of this woman I saw when I was in high school, and she had that radiance. And I was like, gosh, I want that. She had this huge smile and just this beautiful aura. And so I thought, okay, I can be that. It comes with being positive, being energized, emitting light. So, you know, I went through my, you know, trying to be what I saw, but not really understanding how it comes from within, right? So it was sort of like this effortful radiance. I was trying to be what I wanted to be, but I didn't really understand where it came from. So within that, trying to be something that I wasn't really feeling on the inside, mostly because I didn't feel a sense of belonging. Never really understood where I fit in or who I was. So that was just a process over the next, and I'll say it was good 25 years of figuring that out. Thankfully, I found yoga. You know, it's interesting because we compare ourselves to other people and we get these messages from society about who we're supposed to be. And so we spend our life trying to achieve validation and acceptance from others according to our idea of who and what we're supposed to be. And yet there's this inner, very unique spirit that we each have that is asking to be felt and expressed and lived in its own unique way. I believe that the heart takes us exactly where we need to be in our life, but we're all in conflict between the heart and the mind. So when I started to finally listen to my heart and just go with, where do I actually feel good? Now, the problem is when we start to follow that path, we run up against guilt. Mm-hmm. We run up against, I can't afford to go to yoga. Like all of these underlying beliefs, like, I don't know if I deserve this. If we can overcome that and trust that inner feeling and inner guide, it will take us where we need to be to get our cup filled so that we can find our unique sense of self and our belonging in this world.
Yeah, and obviously you have gone through that journey and you are now a living example of radiance, which is why I wanted you to be my first guest on your Inner Radiance.
Wow, I love that. What an
I mean,
beautiful.
I'll give our listeners just a little history. I met you, I don't know how many years ago, but Kristen and I have been on a similar path. She's also a prana vinyasa teacher. She also studies and practices Ayurveda. She was the owner of the Telluride Yoga Center. And when I met her, I just saw someone who was totally living their path, living their dharma and their dream, and also just such an example of the kind of radiant being that I want to be and that I want to see more of in the world. You're always smiling. You're almost always positive, but in a true and authentic way. And you're so kind and generous to everybody you meet. It was a difficult path. I know for a long time, like owning a yoga studio these days is not a very necessarily profitable venture, and following your dream in that way to not go the traditional route of getting, you know, a 9-to-5 job or something that is expected in the society, but you've always been an example of following your dreams and really living them. And the way that you are in the world is a pure example of embodiment and and from authenticity, expressing your radiance in the world. And that's something I love about you and that inspires me so much.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I love that. Well, you know, it's interesting. I did the 9 to 5. I did all that for sure. It wasn't until I started, you know, it's interesting that I'm so grateful to yoga because yoga, once I finally gave myself permission to go where I felt good, where I felt at home, that I found through yoga. We all have our own way of finding that feeling. Once I finally was like, you know what, this is serving my highest self on some level. This is serving the truth of who I am. I found the courage to just trust, to trust. Once I found, okay, this is the funny part. Once I found my feet. So we're talking about union. That's what yoga means. So we're unifying the parts of ourselves that have been broken apart, fragmented, so that we have lost the sense of ourself and our purpose and our connection to love. Most of us are in this fragmented state.
Yeah.
So you can imagine that your mind is about as far away from your feet as anything in your body, right? And most of us don't really have a real relationship with our feet. It was yoga that brought my attention, my awareness, and my consciousness down into my feet, which then in turn allowed me to create a relationship with the earth.
Yeah.
And how the earth was holding me. And how I was an expression, extension of all that she is. And I could tap into her whenever I needed to for energy. I could release into her that which was too much to carry, and she would gladly receive it. And I could also draw up from her the support, the buoyancy, the energy that I needed. And that connection, honestly, was the beginning of my transformation and awakening.
Oh, that's such a good point. And I think I actually totally relate to that. When I think about it, before yoga, I don't think I had any relationship with my feet other than putting shoes on, you know, and walking on them. But I think that's so true. And that's actually what I think is probably the first principle that you learn and that I teach in yoga, is to focus on your foundation. And I think that's true for me too, is that yoga helps connect me with my feet, and through that awareness of the support of the earth element in the ground beneath me and in my body.
Yeah, it also gives you a sense of place, like, oh, so I'm not just like, I don't belong here. Instead, now it's like, oh, I definitely have place, and I can always find it.
Yeah, that's so true. And that, you know, just connecting to our body through yoga and through Ayurveda, that I think that leads me into the topic that I also really want to discuss with you, which is the feminine. And, you know, we have this term, a lot of people are talking about the divine feminine or the sacred feminine. And I want to talk to you about what that really means. What is the divine feminine or the sacred feminine? And why it's so important, this conversation and this movement to really find balance and refocus our attention to these energies, the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And I actually want to preface this with something a little bit kind of a downer, just because it felt so present for me this morning and really reinforced why I even was having this conversation with you and why it's so important. So today, this is Wednesday. This is the day after the Texas shooting that a young man, 18-year-old boy, really just a boy, went in and killed 21 people in a school, and 19 of them were kids. And to me, this tragedy really speaks to the fact that in our society, and maybe particularly in this country, people all people, not just men, but all people are disconnected from the truth of who they are and disconnected from their body and their well-being because of the lack of education and the lack of awareness in our society about who we are at our core, how to balance our energy and our emotion, and how to feel connected in a deep way to this entire living earth and all of the creatures on it. And so I think, to me, I felt like it was important to mention that as we grieve as a country this horrible tragedy, and say that this kind of conversation about radiance, about using tools and practices to connect to radiance and the sacred energies of the masculine and feminine, and balancing them and embodying them in both men and women, is going to be so healing and is really what's so essential and crucial to helping more people, all people in our society, to feel more at home in their body and to hopefully avoid these tragedies like school shootings in the future. So let me just ask you, first of all, to just talk a little bit about what you would say, what is the sacred feminine?
Well, first of all, it's interesting because divine feminine is being, it's beingness, it's allowance. Divine feminine is chaotic, it is expressive. It is infinitely creative. So all that we see in the world right now are symptoms of imbalance and disconnection. And the beautiful thing about symptoms is that they clearly speak of something that that needs our attention, that we are not tuned into.
Right.
So if you're okay with it, I would love to just take a moment and just be in that place of silence, just for a moment. We can premise it with just the words divine feminine. You think of feminine energy, it's nurturing, it's loving, it's kind. This is divine. So just taking a nice deep breath and as you exhale, let's just release all of this intensity that is just beyond really one person's ability to hold. Just release it back into the earth. And let's feel into the quiet. There is so much beauty in stillness. There's so much healing in that place. Now, stillness actually could be associated with the sacred masculine. Stillness is, in a way, structure of support. The feminine is kind of... the creative energy. And within that creative energy, there's also the elements of the earth and water, which is, you know, if you think of earth, it's very much present. And the energy of divine feminine is actually allowing. So in a way, allowing everything to find its right order, because the nature of things really are seeking to heal. That's just the nature of life itself, is to heal, is to find its way back from chaos to order, and then back to chaos, and then back to order, right? That's just like the pulsation of life itself. As far as the imbalance of what's going on here is that we haven't, you know, for so long, masculine energy has been celebrated and valued, and feminine energy has been misunderstood, devalued, and really so many women really have been brought up to believe that, like I said, it has no value, right? So what, when we see the masculine being celebrated, we deny our essence, and we do everything we can to try to find our sense of power and place in the world through what is being celebrated, which is the masculine energy. Masculine energy is wonderful. We are so grateful for all that the masculine accomplishes. The masculine energy has the power to produce, achieve, accomplish, do. Right? It's like the, it's the horsepower to really make things happen in the world. Now, the problem is we've been so focused on celebrating the horsepower that we have lost our system of checks and balances. So we've gone so far in that direction that that we're seeing symptoms all over the world of too much.
Yeah.
So the feminine has started to, you know, women have connected with this idea that we gain power through, one, an excessive need for control. That's how we have found our power. We're like, okay, if I can just control what's going on here, then I feel like I'm grasping at, but getting a smaller sense of what power might feel like when I try and control everyone around me or the environment or whatever. We also find this false sense of power through overdoing, right? Because doing is celebrated and non-doing is disrespected.
Yeah.
We find we have been seeking our power in competition, competitiveness. We've been raised to be competitive through the school systems. Like, everything is designed to stand out above the rest. And so we've lost the art of collaboration, working together, connecting, right? Community. And then another aspect that we have been sourcing our power is consumption. And that is, we just keep going, consuming, consuming. And this becomes this antidote for just this feeling of never enoughness. Now, all of these sources of power, control, doing, competition and consumption, these are actually how the masculine sources real power. This is where the masculine gets its power. It is rejuvenated through these activities, whereas the feminine, following this model, becomes exhausted and depleted.
Can I ask you something? Do you think that perhaps those means of achieving power are not the divine masculine, but actually the immature, like the shadow side of the masculine?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yes. You could say, yeah, maybe it's like not acknowledging all that the masculine is, right? Because the masculine in sacred form is structure of support.
Right.
Holds space for everything to exist, flourish, blossom, become, right?
Right.
So the witness, the one who observes, the one who allows, the one who is fulfilled by the expression of support. Everything kind of, yeah, blossoming in his structure of support.
Yep.
So,
that's my theory, is that the the masculine has been corrupted, and we see these acts of, you know, control and power and achievement and overconsumption, and they're actually just an expression of desire and need based on, you know, lack of actual understanding of what the divine balance is, and that the actual divine masculine is supportive of life. That's what the role is.
Yes, but like you said, corrupted, more like it's gone so far in that direction. The nature of the masculine are these energies. There really is nothing wrong with these energies if the feminine is really understanding of where her true power comes from. And instead of trying to rise up and find her value according to masculine energy, that's what's pushing it all out of balance, is that we've lost our way in understanding divine feminine energy and where our true power lies. So when the feminine really starts to claim her true power and understand where her true power comes from, then everything is kind of pushing the masculine out into that like distortion, right? Too much of. So as this divine feminine consciousness is awakening, which it is, this is a reclaiming. This is like where we as women can reclaim the value of our true essence. And for instance, the feminine is represented by the heart. It's like heart energy. You know the word bhavana, which is feeling, right? It's feeling. It's the felt sense. It's intuition. It's that inner guide that tells us like exactly where we should be if we're listening. Now, the mind is masculine energy. And the mind is the problem solver, the achiever, the doer, the analyzer. You know, like, we need that energy too. The thing is that we have not understood the energy of the heart and the energy of feelings. And in fact, in my program, we do a lot of work connecting to what it is we are really feeling. Most of us don't even have a language for what it is we're feeling in any given moment. We don't know how to, one, feel it. We don't know how to express it. We don't know how to access it. We don't know how to even be with it. But the feminine really can be with all of it. The feminine is powerful enough to hold it all without judgment. That's beingness, right? That's perfect love. The feminine is here to give and receive love. That is like the essence of the feminine. Right. So we do a lot of work connecting with heart and really claiming that as our power and not apologizing, right? Because so many women, we've been taught to believe that, you know, it's better to keep our feelings hidden, to suppress, to numb out, to not feel. So we've really lost track of our inner guidance system. So as we start to
do.
Yeah. And so they're looking to us for emotional intelligence, because it's not that they don't have emotions. Of course they do, but they operate more comfortably in the mental space. And the emotional space is just not their kind of realm like it is ours. So while we've been denying our essence, they haven't had any connection, any guide to kind of what is, you know, how far is too far is when it comes to doing, consuming, competing. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we're like the checks and balances to just say, you know what? This doesn't feel good. This doesn't feel right. And I'm going to speak this truth and share that with you unapologetically without fear of judgment, because I am big enough to hold the truth of the that inner guidance system. Our feelings are powerful, and they are to be revered. And actually, the feelings are Shakti. Shakti, the divine feminine, is power. It's the animating force. And the more we pay attention to them, the more we recognize when we're in resonance and when we're in dissonance. When we're in dissonance, we're going the wrong direction. Right. And we start to feel those symptoms of anxiety and depression and confusion. And
which are just powerful messages to us.
Yes,
right?
They
that,
are.
That
yeah.
something's not in alignment.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, back to that conversation that, you know, I started here with why these tragedies keep happening in our country is that we aren't taught how to do this. And I think Mm-mm. like, I'm a little bit on a crusade right now about our education system, but that's mm-hmm. one of the major problems with our education system is that
yeah.
kids are taught how to read, how to write,
yes.
how,
yeah.
how, you know, arithmetic, science,
yeah.
but there's very, very little emphasis in schools. And luckily it is shifting, but
yeah.
for so long, you know, we were taught to sit in a desk and to work on our worksheets and to study and do well in our tests that are based on facts that we're supposed to memorize. But there's very, very little attention in schools, in our education system, to how we feel, how we express ourselves, how we relate to other people, how to listen to what messages our body and mind have for us. And I think that's where so many, I mean, both boys and girls, men and women, are lacking in this crucial skill, which is really what guides us, because otherwise all we have is, you know, an external focus on how to make the right choices. We're basically,
yes,
you know,
very mechanized.
Yeah,
it's mechanized
we're,
well
we're mechanized. We're choosing based on what the external, you know, society says we should do and should want and should strive
yeah
for, rather than what the inside of us, our body, our mind, our intuition is guiding us to do.
Right, which is always what's true. So this is born out of the industrial age, where what the heart was perceived as merely a pump. And now, through all of these studies and sciences, they're starting to understand that there's so much more going on, that our mind is not the only intelligence that is alive in our body, that not only is our mind is intelligence, our heart is intelligent, our gut is intelligent. Our heart was, created in the body before the mind. So in the embryo, the heart comes first. The heart is more closely connected to the source of life intelligence itself than the mind.
Yeah. And I think even like I've been liking to say the brain. I mean, because we say mind, but actually our heart and our gut, they are part of our mind, right? Like our body mind. And our
yes.
brain is our brain, and that's important. But
yes.
we have, you know, we have feelings and thoughts originating in our body as well. Like there's thousands of neurons spread throughout our organs, especially our heart and our gut, that are not just receiving messages from our brain, but they're sending them as well. Yeah.
We're just more deeply connected to a bigger picture than we realize, like this bigger order of things than we realize. And we have this concept that each one of us is like an individual kind of making things happen. And, you know, that puts a lot of stress on each one of us as an individual, and we don't feel the support that's there for us. As we start to tap into this greater perspective of deeper connection with ourselves and this beautiful living organism, intelligent organism of Gaia, the Mother Earth, we start to recognize that there is an inner guidance system, and healing is, there is an underlying desire to find our way home, right? Mm. So everything goes way out of balance, so it can find its way back. And that's life. That's life. It's alive, right? It's always kind of recalibrating, renewing, rediscovering Uncovering, recreating, it's infinite in nature. So I guess what I would love to say is that right now it looks like, I mean, there's always, it feels like everything is falling apart or entropic in nature, because it is. Energy itself is entropic in nature. It breaks down so that it can renew and reappear as the next evolution of what it's asking to become. Yeah. So as far as connecting to divine feminine, if we're aligning with what's true to us, with nature and right order and the inner guide, that we can realize that if we continue to seek alignment and get curious about who we really are, what is being asked for now? Right? Is it going straight to the symptom and trying to solve the symptom? Maybe not, that's not necessary. You know, like we can put a Band-Aid on things. That's what we've been trying to do in the West for so long, like kind of patch the leak. Instead, going back to the source of things and saying, what is missing? And this is where the divine feminine comes in. It's like the collaboration, the intuition, the listening, understanding that when we feel like we're over-efforting or trying to make things happen, like pushing, that we're not in true alignment. That deep power comes up from within in kind of a clear, powerful, and effortless way. There's ease about it. So like if we can just start to, instead of trying to fix the problem, go into ourselves, do the listening, the meditating, the connecting to our food, connecting to the sun as it's rising and setting, honoring each other, discovering what true wealth is, because it's not, I mean, money is wonderful, it's energy, it's love in itself, but when we get fixated on that being wealth, we lose the heart of what true prosperity is. And true prosperity is connection, collaboration, appreciation, love, listening, beingness, all of these things. I believe that if we can honor what has been missing through this overall driving that we've been doing, unforgivingness towards ourselves, that we will find our way home and order will find its way. And healing is,
I totally agree.
Yeah, it's here. It's happening. It's just that we're so focused on all of the drama and trauma and brokenness that we create more of that. It's that concept of drishti. What are we focusing on? What are we creating? Yeah. What are we, you know, it's time to start shifting our focus.
That's so beautiful. And I totally agree. And I feel like we could talk for another hour on this subject, and I'd love to continue this conversation. But for now, I want to just thank you so much for being here and the wonderful wisdom that you have to share. And I'm just so grateful to be your friend. You guys, I actually got to officiate Kristen's wedding 4 years ago to her beautiful husband, Herb.
Oh,
special.
Wasn't that?
I'm so beautiful. And I love you so much. And I'm so grateful for everything you're bringing to the world. And this is why I have Kristen be a guest teacher in most of the big events I do. So she's been in my 2 past yoga teacher trainings. She was a guest teacher at the festival I produce, Sangha Fest. She's going to be a guest teacher at my upcoming events, Wild Heart Women's Gathering, and then my 100-hour Sacred Feminine Yoga and Ayurveda Immersion, which starts soon, actually starts in June, and I still have more spots available. So please, anybody, reach out to chat with me about that. You'll get to be in a deep dive, learning all about yoga and Ayurveda and how to create inner radiance and really how to listen to your inner wisdom, and Kristen will be there. So yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Kristen, I know you have an incredible program that you offer to women. So yeah. Tell us about that.
Oh, thank you. Yes. It's interesting. I have actually branched out since I've moved on from the yoga studio that I own for 10 years now. I am called to help women who are struggling to find love, who feel, disconnected, kind of like they're having a hard time making that connection and really desiring to know love. Because the reason I've followed this path is that through all that I've learned in yoga, that union, yoga is union. So I believe that it's our divine birthright, really, to know love, to feel supported, to feel seen, to feel met, to be able to trust, to feel cherished. And I know that when a woman gets these needs met, that beautiful things happen in the world. And this is where the sacred masculine comes in. Now, so many women are caught in the masculine paradigm of having to make it all happen and do it all themselves. And it's scary sometimes to let go and let someone into your life. So I am a coach and a sister guide to help women really soften their hearts, heal their wounds, and open up to the love that is truly here for them. So I have a 9-month program called Attract Your Soulmate the Yogini Way, which is an amazing program. We do so much of this kind of reconnecting to feminine energy, honoring, valuing, becoming, being, allowing, accepting, receiving the love that is here for us. And all kind of exploration to communication, connecting, dating, right? Real life application of this higher, holier vision of true wholeness, right? Mm-hmm. And place and belonging. So it's an amazing program. We just started in March. We're kind of in the middle of it right now. But I also do one-to-one coaching for women who might be interested in having this kind of experience and support for themselves, ready to heal their heart, ready to open up to their beloved. This is very intentional. We get into the vision of the heart and we allow it to lead us. And then we just kind of remove all of the kind of the barriers to love that are in the way, because they're all, they're mostly just ideas. And ideas are not truth, not reality. So it's pretty profound and amazing work. And actually, I have in honor of this divine feminine conversation, I created a free handout of 15 ways to reclaim the divine feminine in order to overcome that feeling of depletion and exhaustion that so many women are experiencing right now. Due to operating out of the masculine paradigm. So that's
it. I want that.
Yeah, it's on my website. You can find it at Kristin, K-R-I-S-T-I-N, McHarg, which is a good Scottish name. It's M-C-H-A-R-G, KristinMcHarg.com. And I've got it right there on my homepage, 15 ways to reclaim divine feminine energy and overcome exhaustion.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Yes. And I think that's important for everybody, and not just women looking for their beloved, and men too. I think we all could use that, you know, these practices, yes, and that information to reclaim our true power and move out of needing to feel like we need to do everything and to be in the flow. And I think your program sounds so amazing. And if I weren't already married to my beloved, I would do it. But honestly, I think I would do it sometime, just because,
yeah,
I think it would be beneficial to anybody, like myself included, to really fully, yeah, open up to really receiving and giving more true love. Mm-hmm. So I think it's so important that you're doing that. And yeah, if you are a woman
still
looking for your beloved, I would highly recommend doing this program.
Yeah, actually, I do offer a free coaching call and to attract your soulmate, if that's something that you're interested in. You can find that on my website. Just go ahead and schedule it. It's like a 90 minutes with me where I hold space and we work together for you to listen to your heart and really get clear on the vision of your heart for what would fulfill you wholly, you know, at that core level. And then from there, we just uncover some of those hidden obstacles that are sabotaging your success with men and dating and love. And my goal is to leave you renewed, re-inspired, and re-energized. And that is it. And if you feel called to work with me beyond that, I'm always open to that. So yeah, so take me up on that if you like. You can also find that on my website.
That's a great offer, 90 minutes. Sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Kristen. It was a pleasure talking to you. And I definitely, we have so much more that we can talk about. I'll definitely have you back on Your Inner Radiance. And I can't wait to see you very soon. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lily. It was such a pleasure to be here. To be in your presence, your goddess nature leading the way in with divine feminine energy supporting that, and the sacred masculine standing strong with you, supporting you so that you can blossom in your truth and essence. It's such a gorgeous relationship that you two have, and you're bringing so much to the world, and it's so timely. What an honor to have you both in my life and working in the lives of so many people.
Oh, thank you, Kristen. Well, I'm so grateful to be on this path with you. And yeah, just look forward to so much more. So
wonderful.
Many more things that we get to
do
together. And
looking forward to it all. Together.
Yeah.
We'll see you soon.
Okay, see you soon. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you.